Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Sebastian, Florida. A 54-year-old man was arrested after striking his boyfriend in the head with a Big Mouth Billy Bass. Definitely not a Jew.
I want to thank Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong for Maximum Engine Performance for this half of the show. MedMen. Go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. True Car, TrueCar.com. You download that app and Geico. Geico.com. Jay Moore back in studio.
Get it on.
We love Jay Moore. More stories you can listen on Apple and Podcast One as well. And live dates coming up, San Antonio, Laugh Out Loud. That'll be next Friday, September 7th through the 9th. And then Bellevue, Washington, Parlor Live. That'll be Friday and Saturday, September 14th through the 15th. Jay Moore, everybody. Jay, good to see you, my friend.
I never understood why they call it Parlor Alive, you know? The parenthetical is if they were live at the back, everybody's dead.
You know,
I hope it's live.
You know,
I've never been
Norm,
to Bellevue before.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Twice a year, I get a bunch of tweets because I threw out the idea of a great YouTube Red show called Adam Carolla Teaches Norm MacDonald How to Drive.
Yeah, I don't have a driver's license. I never.
Right. Well, what we do, Norm, is
I'm an old chunk of coal. You know?
We take
the age.
We take the car and we just load it up with GoPros and we mic ourselves up and then I literally teach you how to drive and comedy ensues. You know what I'm saying?
How many episodes do you see this going?
I see it going like a
more than one. Think of
comedians' cars and coffee.
You know. I'm a disabled guy.
I'm not. We're not here to make fun of you, Norm.
Season three, you know, Norm works the brake.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, we'll get an automatic. We're not going to get a manual shift.
All right.
You know what I mean? And we'll have.
Do what you want to do. You know, it's hard to do this impression sitting down.
Yeah, I get it. How would it? What would it sound like if Christopher Walken was driving a manual shift?
I bet it sounds different when I'm standing.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But anything after two episodes, America watches Adam Carolla teaches Norm MacDonald how to drive on YouTube. Mauve.
Yeah.
Right.
Red, you know?
Right. Right.
And they go, "Oh my God, Norm MacDonald's retarded."
Oh, no, they wouldn't say that about you.
This is a 30-minute show, and you've been teaching them to drive for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I might be dead by then.
Mm.
And thank God I'm at Parlor Alive.
Well, I'm just saying, Norm, the people want to see it, and if I am talking to Jay Moore's people right now, and if we can't get you, we're just going to have Jay Moore do you.
Jay Moore?
Yeah. It'll
that
be.
Guy hasn't been on TV since Family Ties.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, obviously he's gettable.
Time,
he's certainly gettable. But what I'm saying is we'll put him on. You know how Gallagher's brother just stole his act?
Gallagher 2. Well, he didn't steal it. You know, he bought it.
All right, but that's what we're going to do with you and Jay Moore. You understand?
He's going to do my driving lessons
as you.
Oh, all right. So I don't have to get out of my athletic gear.
Well, you do. Well, you don't, but you're not going to get compensated is what I'm saying.
Where's Al Pacino?
Al Pacino's in the back seat, and then we're going to mic him up.
I can't see over this fucking headrest.
We'll pull the headrests off like they do in movies.
Yeah, you know? I'm out of Yellow Pages to sit on.
No, we can't. That's too dangerous. We need you to wear your shoulder belt out.
Too dangerous. Now you give a fuck about me and my health.
Yeah, well,
that's nice of you, Adam Carolla, you fucking cunt.
Okay,
who are you?
Well, first off,
drive
let's watch.
The fucking car. He's from Ontario.
Yeah, okay.
You're
not driving to Ontario.
Yeah.
We may go to
Inland Ontario. Empire.
Well, we may go to the outlet mall in Ontario, but not Canada.
Big asses.
Big asses?
Sure.
Hey, listen, Al.
I can't see nothing.
If we're going to do this show, if Norm's going to ride shotgun.
Is that really Al Pacino back there?
Yeah, that's Al Pacino.
He looks orange.
Well, to be fair to Al Pacino, all he did was call Uber Black, and I just showed up. So he thinks we're going to LAX.
How you got your driver?
Oh, wait a minute. Tracy Morgan is
now.
I mean, Big Mama got it all.
Tracy Morgan, do I look like a man?
Wrong wow. Black
that's
silhouette.
That's my son, too. I'm Corolla Lake.
Hey, Big Mama got it all.
Hi, baby.
I got to be honest.
Your titties is large today.
Okay. Thank you, Big Mama.
No, delightful. Mine itchy.
Mm-hmm.
Sweaty.
Big Mama. Was my mom's.
Start over.
Sorry. My mother's birthday was a couple days ago.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't very close.
Why should you give a fuck?
Yeah, that's the point. We weren't tight. We're not close.
They don't call you on your birthday.
She wasn't supportive.
No.
She was not supportive.
No. Not that you met Big Mama. Put your head in my bosom.
I am.
I put you right through Taft High.
You know what? I can hear the ocean, and if I slide down a little bit, I can smell it.
You like that?
Yes.
That's sunscreen lotion. It's anti-inflammatory. That's the thing people don't know. That's life hack. I saw it on Pinterest.
Pinterest?
Penrith.
I didn't know folks of color needed the SPF.
Well, I know what Asian people are doing, but yeah, we've been doing it for years.
No, I'm sorry. African-American black folk. I didn't know they put sunscreen
on. I'm from Long Beach. What the fuck? African-American?
No, I'm sorry. I mean, black gentle ladies.
Black people.
Yeah, black people. Yeah. Black people. Yeah, I did not know that you would need...
I love Penrith.
I did not know you would need sunscreen is what I'm saying.
No, it's anti-inflammatory.
Right. The life hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are your kids doing?
Anthony just got out of his trade school.
Oh, he's going to trade school.
Yeah.
Now, last time we talked about that, the trade school was in prison, so he wasn't doing as well as...
post. Yeah, in prison at Kern County.
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be better if the school was outside of a prison.
Well, ideally.
Ideally.
Ideally, yeah.
You deal with the situation
ideally,
when you're
yes,
in.
Right.
Champion George is doing terrific. He got another baby daughter.
Okay.
And Champion's doing well. Eldon Campbell.
Are these, hold on.
He's getting
old. Are these two different champions?
No, my triplets. Champion, and Champion. Because we all grew up in Englewood. City of Champions.
City Champion.
Baby. You know how we do it. It ain't Edmonton.
One of them had house arrest or something.
Champion George.
That's the middle champion?
Yeah. He was born second. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the middle one.
No, there's only 1 minute between one and two, and then Champion Junior, 18 minutes, he made me push.
Wow.
And a little ass baby, too. Mm. He's only by 3 pounds.
So, but not premature. Now, George is in the middle, and he's staying
in my guts.
He's staying at home?
Yeah,
he's
fine.
Not allowed to leave the house?
When Byron Scott comes over, he gets his ass out of my house.
Oh, Byron Scott's coming over?
No, goddamn well, I lay down for Byron Scott.
No, I'd lay down
for
Byron Scott.
That's morning side heights, baby.
I get it. I just didn't know he was
Byron Scott.
Back to the City of Champions or to the House of Champions.
We talked about this last time. Byron Scott.
Yeah.
It's the knot on my back.
Yeah, it's the house Chick Hearn's built.
Rest in peace.
Oh, he's going to be missed.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Say what now?
He used to do, put him in the popcorn machine. Mm.
Yeah.
Sunscreens off the bosom. Yep. Had a lot.
All the classics.
Yeah, he had all the
hits.
All the hits.
Check Pinterest.
So you have three.
You know, Stu Lance has seen my vagina.
Really?
Yeah.
These are so many Laker greats that have been by your home.
I ain't gonna fuck no Clippers.
You what?
I ain't gonna fuck no Clippers.
Oh, yeah, no, say, I understood.
Yeah. You ever see the only motherfucker worth his weight in salt.
Right.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Yeah, are you still working down at the DMV?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard the wait there was like 8 hours now with all this new ID stuff we're having to get.
Well, motherfucker, if you get in the right line with the right color paper, like you're supposed to make a motherfucking appointment instead of showing up out the booth like I'm somebody. I need my motherfucking driver's license. Well, join America. We all need driver's license. Make an appointment. Green form over there, yellow form on this side.
I'm sure you're giving that speech verbatim many times at the DMV.
I'm a black woman. You can't fire me, motherfucker.
I understand. Mm-hmm. But let's just do a scenario.
I fired the cop. What can they do?
Well, let's do a little role playing, Big Mama got it all.
Ooh, okay, Daddy.
Not sexual role playing, but let's just say I'm your supervisor at the Inglewood DMV.
Okay.
Hey,
get your green form and get back in the motherfucking line for green forms. And get behind the line.
Yeah. Big Mama?
Oh, hey, baby. What's up?
Yeah, first off, Mr. Mandel, I'm your supervisor.
Your dick is too close to my motherfucking shoulder, and I feel frustrated.
Okay.
I feel frustrated at witnesses. Your dick is too close to my motherfucking shoulder.
Okay, it's this kind
you
of like...
You just call me a nigga?
No.
What the fuck?
I came over here to talk to you about your attitude.
What's your name?
I'm Mr. Mandel.
That's not what it sounded like when you said it.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, your attitude and your language. I'm sorry. I'm going to go on break. Take my 5-minute break, and you can deal with all these people holding live chickens and shit.
I don't want to deal with this.
I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. Is this the form for yellow line for yellow forms, or am I in the right
actually,
line?
Actually,
yes, it is. You're fine.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
This is Mr. Gandela.
I'm sorry, Mandela.
I just got to get this real
born
ID.
Born and raised. Just whiteness.
I'm sorry, Big Mama. Forget we had this conversation.
I'm flying to London next week.
I'm going to get you a raise. How about that?
Yeah.
See?
Thanks
for the role play.
Blow on my neck.
All right, Tony, we have a clip. Sorry.
How are you, Jay?
Hi, Jay.
No, it's fine with me. I just think of the listeners going, what the fuck happened? 5-2 is back.
The funniest thing in the world. Well, play the clip, would you please, of the announcer? Sorry. This is for Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech coach.
Buzz Williams.
Huh?
Virginia head coach.
Totally. But not Tech.
No, that's Buzz Williams.
Okay, sorry.
Concern, you know, the big knock on Tony Bennett. Now, Reid, as far as Tony Bennett and Virginia are concerned, you know, the big knock on Tony Bennett, much like Sean Miller at Arizona, can't get over the hump, can't get this team to the Final Four. Now this, losing to a 16 seed. How does Tony Bennett shake this off here and get this stink off of him? And is it anything short of a national championship? Because this is going to follow Tony Bennett around, and no one's going to care about the historic season that Tony Bennett and Virginia just authored, winning the ACC regular season.
Right. Tony, how are you going to shake this off?
I think it's unfortunate. Adam Kroll, that man sounds like he spits when he talks. So we lost to UMBC. Bop, boop, bop. That guy was very upset.
Tony.
You know, I'm working on some covers.
Yeah. Like defensive covers?
When I go out, Hollywood Bowl, September 22.
Oh, I see. You're singing and coaching.
Here's something by Notorious B.I.G.
You're going to cover Notorious B.I.G.?
He was a lovely man, very talented boy from Brooklyn. He was delightful. And just a wordsmith. And that's how I'm going to shake that loss off my back. Instead of heat he was packing, he tried scrapping 10 to his back, and that's what the motherfucker happened. What happened to the summertime cookouts? Every time I turn around, some again took out. Oh.
So,
who is that guy?
Coach Tony Bennett.
Okay.
Yeah, halftime.
Fox out now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what kind of advice would you offer your team at halftime? Let's say you're down.
You just got to pretend that you're not down to a team that smells like hot garbage. I bet your Biggie won't slip.
Wow.
I got the calicoes in the clip. Actually, what I told my team, Adam Carolla, you guys look beautiful. You look tremendous. But there's going to be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing if my burglar alarm starts ringing. What'd you think the 3-point line's fall? Wrote Rylance by the door. I feed them gunpowder so they can devour the criminals coming to drop my decibel.
Maybe you focus more on X's and O's instead of rap lyrics. You
must be a Tupac fan.
No, well.
Yeah, Tupac, yeah. He's going to be missed.
What's beef? Beef is when you live nigga 6 foot deep. That's beef.
I like these covers.
New school. Y'all ought to learn more.
Yeah,
I know. And that's true for everybody, Adam Carolla. Like my team when we lost to those junior college morons.
Woo! Yeah, that's
tough. The 16 seed.
First time in history.
Yeah. But we still won the ACC. We got the banner hanging inside the field house. North Carolina, you got Duke. And don't forget Buzz Williams, Virginia Tech.
Feels like a hollow victory.
Louisville.
We can name all the teams in the ACC. Wake
That's
Forest.
A good hoop now.
That's right.
Good basketball.
Oh, yeah. No,
we won the ACC.
I was mesmerized for a second. Hold it. Hold it, Coach Tony Bennett, for just 1 second. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown and leading leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the performance in your car's engine. Sorry, Coach Tony Bennett. So, when's the season? Where are we? When's the season start? Is it just starting at the...
Midnight Madness is in the fall, early fall? late fall, because football season is almost ready to start.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually it starts around November. Mm-hmm.
Starts around November?
Yeah.
As long as you guys are all sure.
I never even think about it. It's sad.
College hoops, a distant...
You care about college hoops, like regular season college
hoops? The tournament's fun, but other than that, I can't. It's too much.
Like ESPN just like goes really hard on like college hoops, like week two.
Yeah.
Like that's 3.5 hours. Yeah. I have no reason to go to Channel 206.
Speaking of sports, I think Brian has an announcement.
Yes.
Yes.
Very excited about this because this has been
just
over.
Come out of the closet with that yes?
Holy yes, room. Yes! This has been over a year in the making, but happy to announce that available today, you can download and listen to the debut episode of me and Sonny Corolla hosting a fantasy football podcast. That's right. Me and a 12-year-old boy are hosting a fantasy football podcast. And lest you think this is some kind of gimmick or stunt, Sonny is a savant. The kid knows a lot about football.
He talks everyone's ear off about fantasy football.
Does he know a lot or he just
football?
Knows more than you?
Both.
Oh, Colin.
Both. Colin. Hey, he...
Why is he putting his fingers in the air like he's Thomas Dolby?
I asked
both.
Sonny.
Oh, all right, relax.
I asked Sonny, I think, to name 50 current NBA players, and he named 75 to 100.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's about the guy's a D-minus student in school. That's right. The scary part.
Different skill set, man.
I guess so.
You were, what, C's?
D's.
You should be so lucky.
I should probably give the name of the show.
Oh, sorry.
It's called Fantasy BS. B for me, S for Sonny, of course. And we'll do it once a week. Limited series, of course, seasonal. It'll be going through football season for, whatever, 17 weeks or so. And we'll be talking fantasy football. Check it out now. Very proud of it. We tried to get it going last season, but it was too last minute. We couldn't get it up and running, so we planned it all off season. Did a test show with Sonny. Like, Sonny is putting in the work. It's very impressive. So we got a guest in the first episode, Roto World's Evan Silva. Some real fantasy advice from a real guy. So it's a real show.
Was that Sonny's hookup?
No, that's me.
Oh, what? Well.
What kind of student were you, Jay Moore? You're insanely bright, but
I'm
I could see
on the Podcast One app. I want to hit subscribe to this.
Well, you can be a little distracted, probably. What kind of student were you?
Because it was boring.
Right, we've talked a little about it.
I was a terrible student, but if I love like for some like weird stuff, I love French, so I got straight A's in French.
And really,
I AP English,
all communication based.
Word, I could bend words around. Yeah. Like math was like right, you're wrong, and you were wrong way back 6 exits ago. We didn't tell you, and we waited for you to get to the end, and we handed it back to you a week later with a big X. Like, wait, I made that little mistake all the way up there, and you guys just let me keep fucking writing.
I was good at math and still got horrible grades in math.
Why? What hat is that, Honey Bunny?
Am I wearing Joe Coy's hat? Am I wearing Jimmy Kimmel? I tell everyone Jimmy Kimmel unless I'm in front of Joe Coy.
It's Jay Moore, but it's spelled Moore with a K.
Right.
Hats are tough to sell, man.
I was good at math. I don't know. Math is sort of instinctive, right? Or you have you sort of good at it, or you're not good at it. I mean, you can learn it, but you just kind of have it or you don't.
It clicks or it doesn't, I think.
I had it, but I never. It's a weird thing. I think once you're convinced you're a bad student, then you just sort of put on your scarlet F and go throughout your life. Like, I was like, by the time I was in the seventh grade, I'm like, you are a horrible student, and that is that. Yep. And I just went through the rest of my academic career as playing the role of a horrible student. That's all.
Adam Carolla is unavailable tonight, playing the role of horrible student is Tony Danza.
Speaking of that,
you being good at math actually makes sense because your childhood. With so much ambiguity, like, is it Corolla or Corollo? Ask your uncle. Ask your dad.
Sure.
Ask your mom. I don't know. Why you bother me? So, like, math is just black and white.
He just wants
concrete,
an answer.
Yes or no. Yeah. And that's the answer. Whereas, like, me, I just need all that, like, bend them up room with the words and the...
Well, might be a good time because somebody tweeted me earlier today and they said, hey, we love that time of you going through, they said the eighth grade, for me it was the seventh grade, if it's your first year of junior high.
Oh yeah.
But first year of high school, I said, all right, we should do this. First year of high school. Now for some people it's the ninth grade. For me it was the 10th grade, but it's smarter just to say your first year of.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes it a little more accurate. Jay, were you a 10th grade first year high school guy or a 9th grade?
I was definitely a freshman.
Freshman?
Ninth grade.
Ninth grade. It's weird. I'm one of the few people that just did it that way. But what was the first year? Was the first year of high school worse than first year of junior high or the other way around?
It's awesome.
Awesome for you?
Yeah, high school was great. Love high school.
But your first year in the ninth grade.
Yeah, because there was this giant theater program that everybody wanted to be a part of, all the jocks, all the everybody, and this world was opened up, and I just wanted to be in it. That was my sole focus. It was awesome.
Gina went to fame.
I wish. Oh, God, I wish my parents could afford that shit.
Yeah. Anyway. You know whose dad was never born? The guy whose dad drove a hack and then got out of the cab and put, like, the speakers on top of the roof of the cab. Like, my boy's playing! Come on now! Like, no guy whoever
rally
drove a cab did that with his son. Yes.
Yeah. High school is easier because middle school, junior high is the first time you go from the grammar school safety, that small school of fish, into like, here's four grammar schools piled into one junior high. So by the time you get to high school, you're used to it.
You're used to Gen Pop.
So what was your ninth grade high school experience like, Jay Moore?
Mullet, a lot of mullets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Italians.
Mm-hmm.
And me.
Mm-hmm.
And a headline in the Newark Star-Ledger that says, more notches, first varsity pin in Verona history.
Huh?
You're a wrestler.
You bet your
That's
ass.
That's right. A
Rob
wrestler.
Rob Rondi went out at 98 and he got pinned, and I went out at 105 and I pinned some guy named Rodney in Harrison, New Jersey. Because there was a wrestling club before I got there.
And constantly having to make weight, right?
Not at 105. I like walked up there with extra cocks in my pocket.
Really?
Mm.
They had a cock vending machine at your high school?
No, I had one in my home.
Oh, okay.
Don't be ridiculous.
No, you know, I cut
ridiculous.
Weight. You really want to know about this?
Yeah.
I never really gave a shit about cutting weight. I thought it was stupid. I'm like, I'm at like 5% body fat. This is nuts. Get down. Like, I saw guys get like bloody noses at like 3.5%, 4% body fat. No, I think I got down to like 7.
But cutting weight is not something you don't care about or not care about. It's
you
like
care
you got to make weight.
But at some
weight.
Point, you're like, apparently I'm wrestling 140 because 135 is harder as a senior than it is as a junior. And those are the two tournaments I won because I wasn't seeded at 140. So I have two gold medal tournaments because I was the 16th seed. When I upset Virginia and Tom, oh my God, here it comes in the singlet. Oh, front headlock. Get out of that. You don't want to be in that. He's going to make you think that I'm missing table leg. Bring it the other way and bring it back, baby. So I was like a 16 seed and I was a senior. I was the captain. Then I wrestled like the number one seed and beat him like 5-4. And then as the day went on, my matches got easier. So I wrestled like the 7 seed for the medal.
How much I love guys with a background in wrestling and the military and or football because I just feel like they're able to push through it.
Yeah, like, well, wrestling more than anything.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
And so
it's really boring.
Pain, adversity, all the stuff that everyone's trying to avoid. I feel like you just have to stare it in the face and run those bleachers, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was at a gala Thursday night for United States Wrestling Federation, and Randy Couture said, as human beings, we need air, water, food, and I think we need struggle.
Right.
I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting concept. I was like, yeah, we do need some struggle. You know,
well, look, right. You need...
Buddha. A gem can't be polished without friction is next, right?
I always say it this way, which is when they send the astronauts up to the Skylab up there and they're in zero gravity environment, they just start losing muscle and bone density and their bodies are changed and hurt and atrophied because there's zero gravity. And if you create zero gravity for your kids, they're going to atrophy. You need some of that.
Did you ever see the YouTube video I did in 2013 about Save Olympic Wrestling?
I talked to Nate Adams at the other shop who I make all the docs with, who is a big wrestler in Montana, who saw you at the event. He's always doing wrestling stuff. I think there's a Baldwin who's into it. There's you. There's Nate. It's kind of they were going to remove it from Olympics, the Olympic. For me, it's insane because
it's one of the
wrestling Olympics.
The Olympics is wrestling. Yeah. Like, why would you?
Life is wrestling.
Why would you do that? Yeah. Why would I don't even know why they would do that? Why would they even consider it?
I don't know. Like, put Visa on a singlet,
right
under the ass, and go. That fireman's carry brought to you by Sherry's Berries.
there's a lot
like,
of
sponsorships all over singlets.
There's not a lot of overhead for wrestling. It's a pretty minimalist.
There's
a
no mat. Staff. Somebody said, like, what's the staff like? I'm coaching at Santa Monica High now, and they're like, my buddy Landon goes, what's the staff like for wrestling compared to football? I'm like, it's just a guy.
Yeah. Right.
And he drives everybody to like Fresno for states.
Yeah. Right.
Like at Palisades High last year, Aldo Giuliano drove I couldn't go. I was on the road. But he took five kids to state. One was an alternate, and four kids went legit. And he had to rent a van. He had to get it, like, put them all up, feed them. The school doesn't give a shit at all.
So how much of that did you and do you rely on, that sort of mentality, you know, when you got to get up early or do a second or third show in one night, or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just feel like having that base, that discipline is incredibly important.
Day to day, now that I'm coaching, I'm always thinking about it. So, like, I'm in Malibu, and I paddle to the Malibu Pier. It's 3.5 miles and back. So it's, what, that's 7 miles?
Yep.
I'm not that strong a swimmer.
Right.
And it was fucking too choppy and too windy, and I figured it out, like, when I was at, like, Duke's.
Right.
I had to put my head down, like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Darren Chopper. Fuck it. So I just kept going. But, like, when you're not in wrestling, you probably forget. You complain a lot or whatever. But, like, when you're just in it every day, you just have to live it all the time. Like, you just... I'm not doing a good job. I'm writing a book as we speak about this, and I'm like, you know, it's just like hard things.
Are you writing a book about this?
Get Your Gazelle.
Hmm?
Get Your Gazelle, yeah.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, it's based on another... I should change the title.
Well, no, it makes me think of Tony Robbins and work. Tony
Little.
Little.
With the,
yeah. And the workout equipment.
That was called the Gazelle?
I think it was called the Gazelle.
What it was.
Kenyans, look it up. When they would chase a gazelle, you can't run. Human beings are the only animal that can carry water back in the day. Well, I think, unless you put it around a dog's neck.
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Painted quite a picture, Trusser.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, like, you can't go up to an elk and hit it with a fucking rock. It'll just gore you to death with its giant antler, or a gazelle will just kick you and run away.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a Kenyan runs after a gazelle. The gazelle goes, like, 40 miles an hour. Within an hour, they don't even see each other.
Right.
But every step it takes, it runs farther from the watering hole from what it needs the more it runs. And then it eventually has to lay down to lower its heart rate. The Kenyan, carrying some water, sips some water, and it just keeps chugging along.
Mm-hmm.
Marathon pace.
Right.
And the next day, the gazelle sees him on the horizon, does it. On the third day, the gazelle lays down and waits for the Kenyan to kill it.
Wow.
It's like, this ain't working for me this life. Fuck it.
Wow.
So I'll walk into a gym with my guys, and I'll be like, a lot of gazelles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Predator or prey. Let's go. Fuck them.
Love it, man.
I don't curse like that, though.
Get it. All right. Let's get ready.
Is Fantasy BS on the... Podcast One app?
It will be. It's literally launching like overnight. So if you can't get it at this second, Jay, by the time people hear this tomorrow, yeah, on the Podcast One app, iTunes.
I can't wait to hear it.
Thanks, man.
Who's your number one pick?
If it was me personally, Le'Veon Bell. Overall, a lot of people say Todd Gurley. He's a great.
I was thinking Aaron Rodgers.
He
did a
never
commercial with Todd Gurley.
Never take quarterback in the first round. Never take quarterback in the first round unless you have a 6-point touchdown league, but those are rare.
My son is going
the
father-son pick'em.
Brian, you should go with him.
That's on his resume. He's like, I dragged my dad's carcass to a championship last year.
How dare he? The kids are nuts. All right.
Sonny won a father-son fantasy league with Adam doing literally nothing.
Just stopping him.
Well, Adam's
him
got
down.
The fucking all of Glendale on his back. Can he just take a rest? And somebody can't he be a ghostwriter for somebody else once?
No, my point is Sonny beat all the dads and kids.
Right.
Single by himself.
Single handed.
Everybody needs to relax.
Right. But I was
Latino,
basically.
Are you Latino? Latina? Huh?
No, I'm Jewish.
I was.
Jay's on his heels.
She did cut off the ring on me pretty quickly there.
Yeah.
Just cut the ring right off.
Let me tell you, cool your jets for a second. Let me tell you about MedMen, today's cannabis consumer. Everywhere and everyone, let's drop the labels. Teachers, executives, parents at MedMen, you are a customer. There's something for everyone. Whether you're new to the cannabis or familiar, you like stuff like lotions, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable, puts you at ease. And they have locations all over the Southland and beyond. You can check it out. 8 locations. L.A., Orange County, San Diego. Or you go online. You go to MedMen.com. You can find the store that's nearest you. This is not dark, windowless, scary places in bad parts of town. These are big, bright, knowledgeable staff stores, and you get what you want at MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
Visit MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
All right.
Can I ask a football question, all you capable men?
And it begins.
You host a football podcast.
I really, it's not my thing. I don't care. Expert. But I do have a question about the draft.
Mm-hmm. The draft or fantasy draft?
No, that's not a thing. The NFL draft. Okay. So if you're the first pick in the NFL draft, that's a big deal, right? People get excited about that.
Sure.
But isn't that guy kind of bummed because doesn't he go to the worst team?
Yes.
And generally, yes.
Like,
generally,
yes. They don't get super stoked when they put the camera on them. That's why, right?
Well, they do. They
an absolute idiot.
Thank you, Jay.
They do.
The number one pick. There's
right.
only
no,
one.
They're stoked.
By the way, I know you're not an idiot, and you know I love you very much.
They're guys like John Elway and Elway and Manning or something.
Manning went to a terrible team.
Oh, he went.
The Colts.
Elway didn't go.
So did Eli. Yeah.
I thought Manning didn't.
So did Archie.
I thought he didn't want to go.
That's Eli Manning. And he was drafted by the Chargers, who traded him that day for Rivers.
Oh, so they're fucking numbskulls.
They're guys who just go, I won't go.
I'm not going to go to San Diego. Yeah. And the San Diego Chargers go, you'll come. It's great. He goes, no. And then Archie Manning gets on the phone like, no, he wants to be on the Giants. And they fucking pick him anyway. And they roll him for like a third rounder. And my sister's ass.
So Eli and Peyton just went.
Yep. And he was 3-13 his first year on a bad team.
It was a coin flip between him and Ryan Leaf.
So they get all the attention and everybody knows who they are because they went first, but they might be kind of bummed unless they already say, I'm not going to that team.
That's pretty rare.
Okay. Wow.
That's pretty rare.
It's ambivalent.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Oh, yeah. Elway threatened to play baseball.
He got signed by the Yankees.
We'll come back, and we'll do the news with Gina Grad.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Harvey Weinstein has asked a judge to throw out Ashley Judd's lawsuit against him. His lawyers filed papers to dismiss the case, according to TMZ, arguing that, quote, she can't prove he blackballed her out of a huge role. But in documents obtained by TMZ, his lawyer claims, quote, her suit is based on a 2017 article. We talked about this where.
Well, how about her attempt to blueball him out of the industry?
Right. Well done.
Come on.
Fair point.
That's the real crime.
Colin, turnabout is fair play, right?
I can't disagree with you, Adam. You're the boss. Okay, but I mean, sorry. The poor guy, the poor kids, you know?
Blackball is
a defense guy.
Blackball is tough because so many people have worked and then not worked
in this
business. Yeah.
Right, but they're citing a very specific case where director Peter Jackson speculated that Ashley wasn't hired for Lord of the Rings because Weinstein blackballed her. So in her suit,
Peter Jackson like an asshole.
Kinda. Mm-hmm. But he
That's
said
what
it.
I want.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have her. She wouldn't have sex with me.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Thanks anyway.
Well, to be fair to Peter Jackson, maybe he didn't say that's why. He just went.
Yeah.
He speculated.
I think he wielded the power that Peter Jackson did after he did Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Does he really have a lot of power? Like, how much power does Peter Jackson have?
Now? Mm-hmm. He can get a $100 million movie made tomorrow if we wanted
to. Yeah, but right now, out on Glendale Boulevard, Mount Omano.
Yeah, you're right.
What's and like do? The kebab Fair. Way, probably, what's probably have to wait in line with the rest of us.
Right, you got it.
Right. Jay's right.
So in her suit, Ashley says Weinstein torpedoed her career because she rejected his advances in a hotel room. He says the incident was, quote, neither severe nor pervasive. So he's not saying it didn't happen. He's just saying he saw it differently.
He's on the fence guy.
He remembers it differently.
Unless Weinstein's like a Polly from Goodfellas type who doesn't email and only does the face-to-face, which is unlikely, there's got to be a smoking gun. This guy was ruled Hollywood in the 90s. I doubt very much he was very, very diligent about not putting things down in email.
Right, because he's untouchable.
I'm sure that this was written down at some point.
Right.
Careful what you say, Harvey.
Yeah, well, Russians, Chinese, let's get to hacking, man, and let's find out the truth here. Yeah,
right.
Ashley Judd made $22 million in movies, and she was blackballed? Where the fuck have I been? If there was a casting couch, I'd be on my back with my fucking heels in my ears in 2 seconds. I would take every goddamn inch Harvey Weinstein had to put in my asshole. Yeah. You know how long? I'm coaching fucking high school wrestling because I love it. For $0. That's because I love it. You know what else I love? Making money. Hey, can't be here in February, guys. I'm not going to be with you at States. I'm going to do Kiss the Girls 5 with Morgan Freeman.
If only Harvey had seen you presenting all those years ago.
Imagine the damage that would have been avoided.
That's right.
Jeez Louise. Mm-hmm. Remember people go like, oh, you know, Keanu Reeves sucked David Geffen's dick. That's how we got The Matrix. I'm like, I would have done a better job.
Yeah.
I would have fucking slobbered.
Yeah.
I would have been a dirty young man. David Geffen would think of me and just go, excuse me. I don't know why I did Quagmire by accident.
All I know about David Geffen is he's on a yacht somewhere with Oprah circumnavigating the globe.
Nobody won't blow for a Matrix. Like, who the fuck wouldn't? You wouldn't suck a guy's dick to be in the Matrix? To be Neo in the Matrix?
Neo.
You buy a lot of mouthwash for $22 million out of the world. Okay.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you. I think it makes you less gay.
You buy a lot of mouthwash.
That's a business move.
That's a lot of mouthwash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of hacking, Google responded Tuesday to Donald Trump's claim that its search results are rigged against him, saying it doesn't bias results toward any political ideology, according to the Washington Post. The spokeswoman for Google said that when users type queries into the Google search bar, their goal is to make sure they receive the most relevant answers in a matter of seconds. Search is not used to set a political agenda.
Queries, name of the number one selling water-soluble lube on the West Side.
That's good.
Queer E.
That's real good. So that explanation might not be enough. Might not be enough to satisfy the Trump administration because Larry Kudlow, Trump's top economic advisor, said the White House is taking a look at whether and possibly how the government should regulate Google from now on.
Well, there's stories about them, I don't know, shadow banning or shadow listing or whatever.
That's a fun phrase.
Whatever the, what is that? What is that one? Like, I know Dennis Prager and he has PragerU and he has a bunch of his videos that have been taken down, but they're about, you know, the Korean conflict or something. Like, they're non-political. So there's a big case. There's a case going on, but I don't know if it's the same as what we're talking about.
That has to do with Facebook.
But who's owned by?
Not Google.
Facebook.
They're in Facebook.
Who's Facebook own? The one is Google.
They don't own Google.
Okay, where's who's YouTube?
YouTube is Google.
Oh, okay, so your YouTube videos, depending
nerd,
on what the
That's
message.
A fucking nerd right there. Get him out of here. I got sick.
So if you have a political message in your YouTube, those get taken down or those get blacklisted or whatever it is. That's a case that's going on. I don't know if this is related to that or not, but there's one that's going on with Prager and PragerU and his stuff getting all taken
flagged
off that, and flagged and whatever. Now,
I think this is more about you put in, you know, something in the search bar and it's purposely, you know, the accusation that it's purposely eliminating certain articles, pushing other articles to the top. Juggling too much for, you know, for political gain.
So if you type in Donald Trump, right?
Mm. Right.
It's all like CNN going, what a clown. And then like, there's one Fox News at the bottom going, he's the best. To which I reply, yeah, because there's one fucking Fox News.
Right.
And the rest of the people with brains in their heads go, what the fuck is going on with this guy?
As long as the ratio is the same, then you can't argue. I mean,
news is bad about the guy?
Yeah, if there's 10 bad stories for every one good story, then that's how that's going to come around.
A bunch of good stories being like book reports about him.
It's only Sean Hannity says good things about him. That's
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Yeah. And, Scott Baio.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Baio says.
And John Cicada, who was the pop singer?
Yeah. I thought he fucked himself to death, John Cicada.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize
Remember
that.
Remember that, Corolla? Mm-hmm. We parked the van in La Sierra. We were cleaning carpets.
Yeah.
Who's the RNC?
Yeah, he had, Randy. Yeah, he had too much Spanish fly.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Did himself on the stick shift.
It was banana. I didn't know a guy could do that. He had a prostate. I didn't know you had a prostate. This guy went off like a Roman candle. He just kept shooting load after load. He cracked the windshield. He kept going. But you know what? Good guy, though.
Yeah, good guy.
Good guy. He's coming by later. We're going to have some pizza.
Sorry, thin crust, though.
Yeah, yeah. We're not gay or nothing.
All right, sorry. Where were we, Jay?
All right.
Ben?
Well, there might be, actually, Jay, there could be a role opening up for you because Ben Affleck might be losing a big
stuff.
Role. Yeah. So you might want to really pay attention here. Industry insiders tell The Wrap that
Jay Moore type. Here comes Ben Affleck.
The actor may be out as Batman in the next DC Extended Universe. One expert says...
Who's out, sorry?
Ben Affleck might be because he's in rehab.
Batman?
No, he's out because whoever puts on that suit goes fucking crazy. Nobody can wear it for more than like 6 months at a time.
The deal is you do two roles as Batman and then you apologize. You get divorced and you move on. Like, isn't that how it works?
works.
Well, here's why they're saying that this Kobe is probably Bryant's not happening. Insurance. It's all insurance costs. An attorney who specializes in insurance and bond products said he'd be bondable, but the deductible would be so high, it would probably be the entire budget of the entire film.
That's an absurd fucking statement.
That's what he says. On Wednesday,
your fucking insurance is going to cost more than what it costs to make Batman because you're in rehab. So for you to get out of rehab where you're getting well and be Batman, it's going to cost your insurance company $100 million, you fucking scumbags. The guy's got a fucking sickness. If he was in there for fucking bronchitis, you're going to go, hey, we can't do it, man. You got fucking bronchitis, man. Can't do it. It's going to cost $100 million. These insurance no, this fucking bothers me for real.
Well,
these
me too.
Fucking scumbags.
Because the first, my first question.
He has sickness.
My first question was, so if he never got help, he'd be fine as far as the movie studio is concerned?
Yes.
Yeah, that's insane.
Become Sizemore.
Yeah, right.
I agree. And also, I don't know, isn't sort of rehab like, you get your cake, you get your chip, you get your certificate of completion, and now you've graduated and you can go make a movie.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't look. If rehabs worked, there wouldn't be AA meetings. There'd be empty rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You got to rehab well. They could dry you out.
Yeah, I think
when
this
you
is
get
his
out,
third
it's like,
run.
Then your phone starts vibrating. You go, he's got that. She's got this. Fucking, but the guy's got a fucking sickness if he's in rehab. Leave
him
alone.
My feeling is, if he
read it again from the top.
If he drank, if he did it. Look, he's probably drank for quite a few years. And I'm guessing, which is what a lot of these guys do, they do a little bit of drinking, and then they kind of dry up a little, and they make a movie, and they kind of take it easy, and they have a schedule. And you can't make 150 movies by being out of control and high as a kite all the time. You have to get it together, and then you go back later on to Malibu somewhere, and you get divorced, and you start drinking a little more.
Downtime.
But my thing is, It's sort of like, I feel the same way, Jay, you probably feel my pain here. Whenever you go to to get a loan for a home loan or any kind of loan, it's always a whole bunch of discussion of what do you got, what are you going to do? And I'm just like, just look at the past. Just look at all the places that were purchased and all the payments that were made on time over the course of 25 years. That's all you need. And they'll go we need recent this and recent that and recent that. And I go, just look at the past. Just look at it. It's 25 years
rich history.
Of buying things and making payments. No foreclosures, no bankruptcies, no late payments, no
it's
liens, no nothing. Just look at that.
Yeah.
And then we can move on with this. And they're like, no, we want to see recent pay stubs and whatever. And it's fine. But if you want to know how Ben Affleck is going to perform, look at his past 150 movies. If he made them to completion and didn't interrupt shooting for 2 weeks to go dry out at Betty Ford, didn't hear anything, I guess he's going to do the next one.
Yeah. And it freaks me out. I don't have the stats on this, so I don't know. I'm sure I'll get them. But when it comes to, I've heard the military, I know, certain businesses, whatever, when in ways that you're penalized for having sought therapy.
Right.
Okay, just going to a therapist. All of a sudden, that's not a check in the win column.
That means you're
that's
weak.
Not you taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a blight on your record. I don't understand that logic.
Well, the manliest and obviously thing you drives could, more people underground.
Right.
The manliest thing you will ever do in your life is say, I need help. That's like knocking 30 motherfuckers out in a parking lot.
Mm.
When you go, I need help. I don't give a fuck who hears it. I need help. Help me. I need help.
Second only to blowing David Geffen for a role, or is this the manliest?
Well, you got to wait for The Matrix to come out.
Oh, okay.
Blowing them's kind of,
Right.
That's a dice roll.
Dealer's choice. Yeah, dice roll. Yeah.
Oh, dice. I forgot about dice.
Ensuring any Justice League sequel with Affleck could be in excess of 100. Just wrap your brains around this. An insurance company says, if you're going to work well when you're well, you're going to have to pay us $150 million to give you insurance for fucking Chris Pratt and Amy fucking Sedaris and Silverman fucking and Zari or whoever the fuck else is in it. Because that guy went to fucking someplace to get $150 million. What fucking cost that? The 84 Olympics didn't cost $150 fucking million without insurance. Seriously, I'm really asking.
I love your.
What fucking cost $150 million? It's a number they made up.
Yes,
$150 million. What is he going to do? It's going to cost $150 million of damage. Because that's what insurance is, the old Chris Rock. It's in case shit. That's right. All it is. In case I get sick. In case this. He drives a fucking car through a garage door because he hits fucking forward instead of reverse. You know what? It's a fucking fake garage door anyway. It's on a set.
I agree.
$200. Now you're at $149,900,000. I'm not going to do the fucking...
Yeah.
You don't fucking do
math. I'm not Andy Granatelli. I want to know
who's the goddamn insurance company. That's what I want to know.
I'm not Andy Granatelli, but I think they call it drive, not forward. That's just me. All right, speaking of cars, True Car.
You should MSRP. See the car I drive because it's got an F for fucking forward, bro.
Is this in the book?
All right. No, stifle yourself for a second there,
Randy.
Don't get
smart there, bro.
Stifle yourself for a second, Randy. Let me tell you about True Car. You might know what the MSRP stands for, but what does it mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Can be confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You know the True Car price, and the True Price is the best price because they'll show you what other people paid for the exact same car. Apples to apples, lock in your price, get your certificate, go to your certified dealer, and pick up your car. And True Car, their price is competitive because they compete for your business with other certified True Car dealers. So they're competing amongst each other. So when you're ready to buy new or used, you visit True Car, enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, Gina Grad, what else?
Well, the Sacramento Bee reports that California is eliminating cash bail for people who get arrested. So this is a little bit unprecedented. The change will take effect in October of 2019. Governor Jerry Brown touts it as a way to make sure the rich and poor alike are treated fairly.
Oh, I don't like this.
Oh, I'm going to break it down how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Break it down.
Senate Bill 10 under California will replace bail with risk assessments. So, for example, a person who's risk to public safety and risk of failure to appear is low, they'll be released with the least restrictive non-monetary conditions. Medium risk, individuals could be released or held depending on local standards. High risk, they'll stay in custody. That'll be anyone with certain sex crimes, violent felonies, and certain DUIs and threats to society. But no more cash bail. It's over.
I got to ask Gergis about this when he rolls in. I think that was something he was down with, but I can't quite remember.
It seems unfair. Oh, because rich people
easily pay the bail.
Like, here's 10G cash. I'm out.
What's to become of Dog the Bounty Hunter?
I don't know. And all those wonderful gentlemen who become bail bondsmen. Those wonderful chaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No more in California.
I guess you get rid of the bail bondsman.
How do you get out of jail?
Yeah, they don't have to work, I guess. Well, they're saying they're gonna do a risk assessment. So if you're a low risk, then you get to be released on, with certain standards, but you don't have to buy your way out.
So there's no bail?
Apparently not. No more cash bail starting in 2019.
Weird.
You seem very worried about this.
No, I'm so confused.
You don't like the people they're gonna let out.
It's a subjective monitor.
Yeah.
Like, you get some judge who goes, my son was killed by a guy fucking around with a lawnmower.
Right.
You got $1 million bail.
Mm.
Right, who kills people when they're in a dentist chair? He's all right.
Like,
he's from Minnesota. Where's he going to go?
You've got a crystal ball, Jay Leno.
Goddamn.
Jay Moore.
You know what?
I'd sent an email to Jay Leno earlier today.
Really?
I was thinking about
it. Yeah.
Well, he sent me one.
So do you think this will be chaos? Or do you think this is a good idea?
I think I've heard Mark Garagus complain about the system, and it'll probably be a good thing. On the other hand, if it was Jerry Brown's idea or the legislator's idea in California, then it's probably a bad idea because all their ideas, every idea in California is a horrible idea. So I don't know. I'll have to, Max Baddett, remind me to ask Garagus when he pulls up here. Ask him what I think. And he may pull up next, 10 minutes or so we can figure it out.
I'll just stick around, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the hiring outlook for college grads is the strongest it's been in more than a decade.
Hold on, Jay's still going.
Jay's really just, happy.
That was just a sniper shot, man. Nice. Holy, that was Barry Pepper. Just Lord of my shepherd, I shall not
ping. We know what happened to him at the end of the movie.
So, looking good for college grads. They find 80% of employers are planning to hire recent grads, up from 74 last year. But the 1,000 hiring managers they surveyed over by Career Builder cautioned that these entry-level workers could use an extra little semester of sharpening their job skills and their basic etiquette. Here are the things that most people do to screw up their interview at a job interview. They don't send a thank you note. They
Please tell me no one checks their phone. No one checks their
Let's
phone.
See if it ends up on the list. Okay. They don't ask anything about the company. They don't ask any questions in the interview. They had poor grammar on their resume, had unprofessional pictures on social media, and they checked their phone during the interview.
Oh, yeah, they got to. Well, yeah. let me. It's idiosyncratic now. I don't think you can get a young person to hold a phone and not look.
Look down.
Can I give everyone a goddamn tip? You know, if you're on a diet, don't have ice cream cake in the freezer. Like, you'll go for it. Don't have it on the premises. Don't have the option of walking into the kitchen at midnight and going, I'm just going to get a spoonful out of the side. Like, don't have it in the house. If you are going on a job interview, don't bring your goddamn phone into that office with you. Nope. Do not have it with you. Do not give yourself the opportunity, because I do not believe that anyone under 25 can stop themselves. If they feel the heft of it in their hand and somebody's talking for a minute, they cannot stop themselves from looking down. Remove the option from the table.
Absolutely.
And also, it's like, well, what if there's an emergency? I don't know. You're going to be in there for 17 minutes.
What, are you going to jump out and run out of the
Yeah, and what are you? Would you have eight kids and you're a paramedic? Like, what are you? Who are you?
You're most likely in your mid-20s. Yeah.
You're no one's emergency contact.
Yeah, you graduated Pierce 9 months ago. You're fine. There's no emergency. Your parents are in their mid-50s. Yeah. You're fine. Leave the phone.
You know the other one that always tripped me up, though, at all the job interviews and everything, is when they say, well, do you have any questions for us? Because I feel like that's always a trick. It's like, well, you told me everything you want me to know about this company.
It's
so
not a trick.
I feel like it's a trick.
You have
because
to ask
now you have to.
Only
you do.
No, you do not.
But you have to ask the kind of questions
you say,
they want you to ask.
No, they either want you or they don't. All you can do is fuck it up from that point forward.
Thank you. I totally agree.
Do you have
agree.
Any questions for us? No. I'm about what you're about.
That's exactly right.
I get it.
I come up with questions that I know they want me to ask, because the other questions they would have told me.
Assumption. You assume it.
They do.
But
yeah,
isn't it on your
trick.
List from hiring managers
it
that they don't ask
enough
questions?
But I think that it's a trick.
Have you been
I
at
think
school
it's a
with
trap.
Your kids? And they go, any questions? And you just go, if anybody. And it's like 40 minutes. What are your policies regarding diversity? It's like some white lady. It's like, it's on the fucking website, lady.
Yeah.
What are your core values?
I love the hypothetical.
Like,
let's
statement?
Say that's I'm fair. Running late in the van drop zone. And my commuter mug falls over and I have to tend to it. Would that be okay to pull over in the green zone then? And then could my kids get out? It's like, just shut up.
That's
just shut up,
I
please.
Hate carpeting in the classroom.
Yeah, people just,
that's when you need that chair going backwards.
Right.
And you get up slowly and leave like a boss. You'll see in the carpool lane, you yakety yak.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been on a job interview in my life.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, if either of you have.
I've been on.
Oh, yeah.
I went on one
either
for.
With
I did the corporate.
Love
I did. Well, you had a whole corporate life before.
I went. I got a job at Hoffman Travel Agency when I was like 19.
You were a travel agent?
No, I sat at a table with a whole bunch of yentas and I sat on a folding table and just like, you know, make sure Merv Griffin has his tickets pronto. And I was like, put them in an envelope and put them in a basket and stare at a clock.
You have my tickets.
Ooh. Yeah, Irv. Ooh. I mean, Merv. Sorry, Merv.
Irv. It was a draft pick.
Merv traveled a lot, and it was important that he needed his tickets, like, driven to his Bel Air mansion. It's back when everything was just mechanical.
Paper.
Like, you want to get on a plane, you take these tickets, you get
That's
on that moped, and you go to Merv Griffin's gate, and you go through there, and you hand them to Merv's assistant.
Otherwise, he's not going anywhere.
Have you been to the airport with your phone as the ticket yet?
Oh, yeah. Many
all
times.
All the time.
Oh, okay.
I can't go to a Dodger game. I'm like, print that shit out. I'm not going to hand. I'm going to wave my phone. They're going to go like, want to close your Pornhub account before you?
I'll tell you the greatest moment of my life.
Not my greatest. Relax.
I'll tell you my greatest in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Give Merv Griffin his tickets. Pick up some milk. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. You just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. Get a first-class ticket. Go somewhere like Fiji and enjoy yourself. Geico, geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. I work for Hoffman Travel. Hoffman Travel had some of the angriest women I've ever met in my life. Travel agents are amongst the worst women on the planet.
Because they're not going anywhere. They're constantly reminded.
They're all, it's this weird thing. There's two groups. There's sort of the young up-and-comers, and then they're the old ones who don't need to be a traveling. Right. Their husband works, but they just like, they want to get free discounts and whatever. These were some of the bitchiest women I've ever, I was 19, and they would do things like, where's Merv's tickets? And I'd go, I didn't hand me. I gave you the envelope. And they'd yell at me. And like, a half hour later, one of them would go, oh, it was underneath my counter on my desk. Oh, she started laughing, and then she'd never apologize. They were overtly angry and mean, and eventually I got fired. But either way.
That's because you pissed off Cindy. Cindy is a real up-and-comer travel agency business.
Like really, like 24-year-old women who are bitchy, 56-year-old women who are bitchy. We're all bitches. And I got fired. And years later, I was doing, I think, Letterman for the first time. And it was still back in like the kind of hard ticket era. And they'd have the travel agent and they have the whatever. And the person that like met me at American Airlines, whatever, was like, hello, sir, I'm from Hoffman Travel. I have your tickets and your stuff, your itinerary and blah, blah, blah. And I said, thank you very much. First class tickets. Great. And I paused and went, you going back to Hoffman Travel? Yeah. You guys still in Studio City in Ventura Boulevard there? Yeah. Tell every single one of those bitches Adam Carolla said to blow him. Tell him, he said, just suck his dick.
Normally, they're giving you a tip right about now.
Just, you tell them all, Adam said, just kiss my hairy ass. I'm going first class to Letterman.
The first option was right more appealing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Conga line of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Open mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Human centipede. So Judas Priest frontman Rob Halford says he's not one to get overtly political with his music, but that sometimes he doesn't really have to in order to make a point.
He's gay.
He tells Rochester, New York City's newspaper that when he stands on stage in St. Petersburg in Russia, that's a victory for gay people. He's also not above some subtle provocation in his lyrics, but he admits that there are some days when he wakes up and thinks he should be more of an activist. He says, especially being a gay metalhead and knowing that there are still all of these injustices against people like me.
May I?
Yes.
Please.
Rob Halford needs to wake up and realize he's fucking Rob Halford and he's the lead singer of one of the greatest motherfucking bands on the motherfucking planet ever. Breaking the law. You're fucking the lead singer, Judas Priest. The fact that you're alive, you're a glowing beacon for gay everywhere you go. It's like, he's gay. That changes the way I look at gay people forever, because that motherfucker, that guy that I listened to my whole life, it was like, let's go get fucking chicks and beat up fags. Wait, he's, uh-oh.
Like, relax. Just like, the chicks part.
He's got, what, is he going to do Ghost of Tom Joad remixes? Like, relax. You're fucking Rob Halford. You are the fucking coolest gay guy I'd ever live.
Yeah.
Not Rufus Wainwright level, but you're up there.
We didn't, I don't think anyone knew he was gay back in the day, even though he was
trying his hardest.
It was a different time, man.
He was trying his best.
What's it going to take?
Yeah, I know. That's my Freddie Mercury
fucking argument. They're the best, too, man.
That's a...
What a great name. Just a name. Judas Priest is the name of a band. Like, name your band Judas Priest. You left four kids in a garage going, fucking stupid.
Where's Rob Halford from?
Chicago.
Chicago?
I'm thinking Billy Corgan. I'm sorry. He's from
he's
England.
British.
That's what I thought, but
I'm thinking Billy Corgan.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Judas Priest.
What?
It's weird. I didn't get I grew up in North Hollywood, and the metal thing just didn't really hit that hard.
You guys went through your 80s slow jams.
No, I was into like Joe Jackson and Elvis Costello and like Talking Heads and stuff, like the Pretenders. Like I was like into like New Wave or whatever it would have been
called.
I thought
you were saying New
Wave
like it's metal. We were into like
New Wave. Yeah, it was
Human League and like Pretenders, man.
I hated Human League and all that stuff, but like the Pretenders' first albums, Joe Jackson's first albums, Elvis Costello's first albums, all those Graham Parker, guys like that, all that stuff was all the stuff I was into.
Right,
yeah.
That's off of Jay's phone.
That's breaking the law, buddy. Not.
How do I have that technology?
All right, sorry. What do we got, Gina Grad?
Well, if you have 10 grand and you want to be
Gus
your own
Grissom.
Boss, can help you with that.
How
Amazon,
much?
10 grand. Mm-hmm. Be your own boss. Amazon has a deal for you, according to CNN. Starting real soon, you can apply to start your own small business delivering Amazon Prime packages in Amazon-branded vans and uniforms. The company wants to help launch small businesses in the U.S. dedicated to delivering their packages as their latest attempt to gain greater control of the delivery network.
Are they going
to
kind of Uber-size their deliveries?
That's kind of what it sounds like, because it's putting a huge strain on delivery.
Using drones, like big announcements they're going to use drones.
Can I say this about the drone? As much as we love the technology of it, it's like the flying car.
Why do I give you $10,000 for you to give me a fucking job? That doesn't even make sense. Are they for the fucking Ben Affleck insurance people, motherfucker fucks?
Rent the van and the costume?
What I'm saying is Adam, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little different now when I've drank it.
Flying drones, it all was big news 4 years ago years ago. But if you really break down that story, are they really going to be flying packages into your front? Like, that's logistically, how's it going to work at all?
For sure, for apartments.
Or anything. I mean, it just sounds like logistically. Sounds like we're way too. I think they. That was all just a big publicity thing, right?
Seed money to work for Amazon.
I mean, I think it's rental fees, really. I mean, you're getting
$10,000. You can work for us.
Basically.
I assume you're franchising.
Yeah,
I assume that you own
everybody. That's not how it works. You give me $10,000, I work for you, you fuck.
Taking over a fast food franchise.
You must have a contract or something.
I'm sorry, you look excited.
No, that's fine.
But this is like Uber, right? Like, you're going
to
use your own car.
Amazon vans.
Oh, you're going
to
get the Amazon vans.
Damn it, I've been here 4 hours. Listen.
Sorry.
But you don't have to put $10,000 seed money to drive your fucking Uber car.
But I mean,
the crazy cockamamious thing since the Affleck thing.
Right.
Give us $10,000, you work for us.
But here's what I'm saying. This is a version. This is our new economy. I'll give a weird example, but it's a new economy. Okay. In the past, you might hire a dog walker to walk your dog, right?
The dog walker.
But if I open my front door at any given time, there's women walking up and down the street. They're walking.
Yeah.
Mark Garagos' wife, Paulette, just walks through my neighborhood. New world order is like, instead of hiring a dog walker to come to the house, I'll just take my dog and I'll attach it to one of the people that's just walking down the street, and they're walking anyway.
They're already there.
They'll take the $20, and I'll save $10 as I paid the dog walker $30, and they're out walking anyway. That's like the new world order we're heading toward, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's not so bad.
No, is Garagos here?
It's pay to play for jobs now.
Okay. Well, ask Garagos, tell him about the cash bail thing and tell us if it's good or bad, because we're not legal scholars here and we got to figure this one out.
I'm an Eagle Beagle.
Do you want us to bring him in for a little bit?
I do want you to. Yeah, sorry. I should have been clear. I do want you to bring him in. And let me just tell you about Castrol Edge, and then we'll get the answer to this. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. They rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms. It'll be stronger under pressure. Jay Moore's making room for Mark Garagos. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. It's Castrol Edge. You can unlock the performance in your car with Castrol Edge. You don't have to set up a whole new mic and everything, Chris. We'll just get Garagos's quick
Pick up my son.
All right. Oh. Jay Moore's got a split anyway. I'll give Jay.
Bye, Jay.
More stories. You can listen on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One as well. Live shows coming up in San Antonio and Bellevue, Washington. And you can, where should they go online to find out?
JayMoore.com.
Yeah. Hey, Mark. Thanks for coming in.
And lady. God, I love seeing you guys. Thank you.
Come back anytime you like, Jay.
My kids
and
in the
thank
building,
you,
by the way.
Thank you for wrestling.
Oh, how nice.
All right.
That was the line I've ever. Ask him how I feel. Was
that we're going about to find out.
See you, Jay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before we talk bail, can we talk about the fact that I got ding-dong ditched by none other than Gina Grad when I was in New York?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Ding-dong ditched.
Ding-dong
ditched. That's not how I remember it.
What happened?
We were supposed to. I almost said hook up, but that would get
that
you
would
in trouble with the new
boat. Salacious.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden she had to be back.
No, my flight was for Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I had tickets.
We'll explore this on a different episode.
I would love to know what you heard.
Yeah. The cashless bail. Now, I know you've talked about a version of this, but I'm not sure exactly what side of the issue you're on.
Let me tell you, it's interesting that this passes, and yesterday at 4:30. I've got a client who was arrested last week. It's a client who I've represented. I've gone to trial with him three times, actually, and had him acquitted.
Three times,
how many times?
Three times that we've gone to trial, and we've won all three times, and he's been out of trouble and is wildly successful. He gets picked up last week, and I was in court, federal court, because this is a state court bail system, and literally they were asking for no bail. And I said, but this is an economic crime. How can you have no bail on an economic crime? And the U.S. attorney who had flown in from the IRS division of Washington, D.C., who was sweating profusely, by the way, which I didn't quite understand. Yeah, not a good sign. He's arguing this, that, and the other thing. We end up putting the officer on the billion-dollar tax credit scam. By the time I finished cross-examining the officer 20 minutes later, he had reduced it to $30 million from a billion. I said, "That now that's a pretty good, you know, mind you, if I had represented to the court that it was $1 billion and then on cross-examination it had to say it was 30, I'd be in custody myself." So I said, "Okay, it's $30 million. Got it. Judge, I will post $30 million in property and cash, and I will put a GPS on the guy, and I will hire a third-party guard to guard him and report to the court. Not even report to me, and we'll pay for the guards." No. No bail. No bail. Why? Because there's, I could get into it, but it's, bail is punitive. Bail has always been punitive, and that's the entree to a cashless bail system. If you are presumed innocent, I've never understood this, as long as I've been practicing law. If you're presumed innocent and the charges, especially you've never had a preliminary hearing or a probable cause proceeding, how in the hell can you detain somebody because they don't have money? I can understand in certain classes of cases. I mean, the Golden State Killer, that's a capital cases are not bailable. That's constitutional. But for everything below that, and especially for misdemeanors, how do you get away with having bail?
Well, I said this about the city of Burbank when they wrote me a chicken shit jaywalking ticket. And they said, you come in, pay in full, and then we'll give you a court date. And I was like, what do you mean pay in full? Don't we have to decide whether I'm guilty or not? And they go, yeah, we will after you pay in full.
Right,
I was like, how does that work at a sports book? I'll just take the Steelers, well, I'll pay you in case I lose in advance. It's a weird thing. Yeah. I'm only the people making the rules could do that. Wait a minute.
That's exactly how it works. That's exactly how it works. You give them $20 and if you win, you go collect your winnings.
Right. Well, all right. Sorry.
I can't even shit. That's not even shitting on
a point.
You're right.
In a sports book, I meant to say,
but
we can argue after the Steelers win, we can then argue whether they pay or not. And they can say, no, we've decided not to pay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, so finally, you know who was really the driving force? It was Huggy Hertzberg, the state senator.
Sure, Black Jew.
Yeah.
The only Jewish pimp in the Bay Area, Huggy Hertzberg.
Huggy Hertzberg.
The man who wore a fedora and a yarmulke at the same time.
But you never knew about the yarmulke.
No, it was always cleverly hidden under the purple crushed velvet fedora.
Until...
Yes.
Hertzberg used to always hug people.
But he drove a Cadillac and nobody ever complained about that.
Right here in the valley. And then I used to ask him, Bob, why?
Huggy Hertzberg.
Here he comes walking down the street.
Hey, Huggy, what do you know about the Gambino family? I don't know, I'm a little light on gefilte fish. Maybe you could help me out. Man. Yeah, sorry.
So I asked Huggy. Why do you always
hug
people?
Huggy, what do you think about the pimp Don Magic one? His head should grow on the ground like an onion. Sorry, go ahead. Huggy Hertzberg.
Huggy Hertzberg.
What is
so Huggy's response is, ever since, what was the one where they slipped the money under the Willie Brown's door and then he pushed it back out? Do you remember that was Shrimp Gate or something? I forget what it was.
Oh.
Somebody was trying, one of the lobbyists was trying to bribe Willie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And, Willie Brown, when they slipped the cash under the door, he ended up...
it's Huggy Hertzberg.
It's Huggy Hertzberg. So Huggy said, of course I hug him. I always want to see if they're wired because I'm a state senator, right? I said, that's smart. But poor Huggy Hertzberg, Huggy got me too.
Too many hugs.
Too many hugs. Inappropriate hugging.
When you're a Jewish gentleman of leisure, it's bound to happen.
At high holidays.
But, so, all right. So this... proposed cashless bail is a horrible idea? Is it has some merit?
It has some merit. It'll be it's all as always in the criminal justice system in the execution. And the insurance companies, mind you, bail is also an insurance scam. Because the bail bondsman, when you go to Joe's Bail Bonds or I think
Aladdin.
My favorite is Moses. When in deep water, call Moses. Isn't that a great line?
Right.
So
Huggy is.
Hey, it's Huggy Hertzberg.
When you're in deep water, call Moses. So the insurance company is the one who's been promoting bail because the bondsman is nothing but an agent. He's a life insurance or an insurance agent who writes the bonds. They get the premium. You don't get your money back. It's a scam. I mean, as I tell clients, you're better off if you've got the money posting the cash because you get it back when all it does is even if you're guilty, you still get your bail back unless it's a bond.
So there shouldn't be... It's weird because financial crimes, I don't understand. You don't pose a threat to anybody.
You're not a flight risk.
I had to hear flight risk is what they
said. That's the big one.
He's going to Turkey. He's going to Turkey. I said, who goes to Turkey? I'm in a fleet at Turkey where Erdogan's going to do whatever. I mean, it's just.
Was your client Turkish?
No, he's Armenian. He changes his name. Mind you, I said, Judge. I didn't want to say the U.S. attorneys are a complete racist, but I said, there seems to be some cultural insensitivity. My name is Garagus. You know what? It used to be Garagosian. My grandfather dropped the I-N. As they're fleeing the Turks in the desert, they figured maybe it's a good idea not to have the I-A-N. You know, this guy goes to Turkey, wants to do business. He's not, he doesn't have an I-A-N on the end. So, but, you know.
So you're saying this isn't Chris Brown?
No.
Okay. I want to be clear.
He's going to Turkey.
All right. So why is Jerry Brown proposing this?
I don't know. Because he wants a legacy. Jerry's addled. If you haven't noticed, he's right. Completely
addled. But it's a good thing.
Well, his thinking is that it's been a war on the poor, right?
Yeah.
Because they can't afford it. Everybody else can.
There is a very compelling argument that was, and actually Huggy started this crusade on the Adam thing. On the Adams posting bail for traffic tickets. Huggy thought that was unfair because people
you
can't afford the bail.
Yeah,
you and Huggy.
Well, it seems unconstitutional and a little bit un-American to go pay us in advance and then we'll figure out.
We'll let you know.
By the way, it's much, if you guys ever think, look no further than a gift certificate. When somebody gets you a gift certificate for this, I used to get one from Barney's in New York for like $1,000. And then you go in there, you spend $993, and you go, thank you, I'll take my $7.
No,
and they go,
no.
Well, guess why? Because they have your money.
Right.
And when they have your money, guess who has all of the power? So whether it's the court or the place from Barney's in New York, once they have your money and they get to decide whether to keep it or not, it's a much different decision-making process than them getting you to give them money. So it takes a power. It's a power imbalance.
Right.
We're not deciding whether you're guilty or innocent anymore. We're deciding on whether we should give you money back that we've already spent.
There's also kind of a you got to jump through a hoop. They figure, who's going to pay the money and show up to court? So it's a way to manage the caseload.
All right. The great Mark Garagus,
really
yes.
Quickly, as it pertains to gift cards, everything you say becomes fact, as you claim. Garagus probably knows this. Now the law, at least in California, if not nationwide, is they have to give you change for your gift card if it's under like $10 or $5 or something, if you don't spend it all. And now they can't expire. Because it used to be like, don't spend it in two years.
What if we do the research and it turns out that's also a Huggy Hertzberg bill, sponsored bill?
That's me. I've screamed about that a million times. It's like, it's expired. Like, you're still open, aren't you?
Then add to your list of titles Rear Admiral, State Senator, Adjunct Professor, and Bill Sponsor.
And gift cards are.
I like that.
Gift cards are. Simply Safe. Looking for a little home security? You always go with Simply Safe. So easy to use. No hidden fees, no pricey contracts. You get the best. It's simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, Seattle Moore Theater, next Thursday, September 13th. No Adam Ray. He's out. He got booked in the leading of a movie. We just found out. I just saw an email from him.
Muscle
so
time.
Sorry. But I will burn extra calories for you that night. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff you need. And listen to Reasonable Doubt right here on the Podcast One. It's me, Mark Garagus.
I'm going to phone in for some news for you tomorrow, too. I was hoping I'd have it for this show, for the ACS show, but I haven't gotten permission yet.
Breaking news. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagus and Gina Grad. Paul Bryan, say it. Mahalo.
I would take every goddamn inch Harvey Weinstein had to put in my asshole.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Make sure you leave us a message at 888-634-1744. And pick up Mistrial, the audiobook of Mark Garagus and Pat Harris. Voiced by me at audible.com. Get tickets for everything at our website, adamcarolla.com.